Donc, mardi 26 avril 2022, préparation de la réunion du groupe de travail COSAC en visioconférence avec la plateforme Zoom. Mardi, mercredi, jeudi, vendredi, samedi, dimanche, lundi, mardi, mercredi, jeudi, vendredi, samedi, dimanche. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. Ça n'est pas concluant. Le canal allemand n'est pas concluant, on entend toujours les deux voix.
Oui.
Je suis de retour. Il me faudra un canal, s'il vous plaît.
Béaté, je pense qu'il faut quand même faire l'interprétation. Si de votre côté, les députés allemands font des remarques là-dessus, alors on pourra voir, mais enfin, je n'ai pas de solution. Quoi. Si le problème vient de chez Zoom, là, on se connectera. Sinon, il faudra… Alors écoutez, si vous avez sur votre canal allemand des députés allemands qui se plaignent d'avoir ce doublon… Je pense qu'il faudra leur conseiller de se mettre sur le canal anglais pour qu'ils puissent entendre la traduction en allemand, si vraiment ça les gêne d'avoir les deux. Ah oui, oui, mais non, j'ai bien dit, dans le cas où ils se manifestent. S'ils ne se manifestent pas, c'est sûr. Qu'est-ce que tu en penses, Jocelyn ?
Tu as entendu ?
Oui.
Elle t'appelle Sabrina.
Oui, je t'écoute, Sabrina.
Oui, alors on a eu là un conseil de, je crois que c'est Béaté ou Carmen, je ne sais plus, avant de reprendre avec les deux, qui nous ont demandé est-ce qu'elles interprètent quand même. Je pense qu'il faut le maintenir, parce qu'ils vont entendre en fait la version française, mais en arrière-plan.
Oui. Oui, je pense qu'il faut maintenir la traduction, même si…
On le maintient, d'accord.
Ceux qui écoutent, c'est un peu inconfortable, mais c'est peut-être mieux que rien.
Très bien,
mieux que rien, oui.
D'accord, ok. Bah, écoutez, on va pouvoir démarrer.
Peut-être parler un peu plus fort pour couvrir la voix.
Peut-être demander à l'interprète de parler plus fort. Merci à vous.
Vous m'entendez ? Pardon ?
Oui.
Je n'ai pas encore de canal.
C'est Carmen qui n'a pas de canal.
Carmen, oui.
Bon, je crois que, chers amis, on va devoir commencer quand même.
Right. Dear friends, I think we will be able to start despite those unfortunate technical problems. I think we have to start. So, dear Commissioner, the Commissioner has disappeared in the meantime. Maybe we can wait for the Commissioner to reappear.
Oh. Monsieur le Commissaire européen, chers collègues, tout d'abord.
Dear European Commissioner, dear colleagues, I apologize for starting late with the technical issues. I hope we'll be able to manage anyway. Thank you for having accepted our invitation for the hearing in front of this working party, which was set up by COSAC on the theme of European values at the heart of the sense of the belonging to the EU. Our group has over 40 parliamentarians from different European parliaments in Europe and the European parliaments. We've held several hearings of people from the think tanks and political philosophers to hear what they have to say about the notion of European values and the rule of law. We've also been able to refine the distinction between the rule of law and democracy. Now we're going on to the second stage in our work, which is due to look at the effectiveness of control mechanisms and follow-up of rules relating to the rule of law. Our aim is to bring about the adoption of a report based on the opinions of our group on those topics. So, dear Commissioner, we're very interested in hearing your analysis about the follow-up mechanisms, their effectiveness, and maybe changes in them, because we have to know that those mechanisms are manifold, and sometimes they duplicate one another. So the list is, for example, Article 7 of the Treaty of the European Union, which was launched against two member states but didn't give rise to any detection of risk of violation of fundamental rights, and no sanctions, apparently. The mechanism of the rule of law, which was instituted by the Commission but wasn't called upon for years. There are elements within the Council that can be interesting but can also be seen as states as a way of evading their responsibilities under Article 7. The mechanism of conditionality or cross-compliance for European funds, which can give rise to a suspension of payments at qualified majority, but its implementation has been suspended until the recent decision of the court, which judged it compatible with the treaties. The most effective means of pressure is the publication by the Commission of its annual report on the rule of law. The third report, which will be published this July, will apparently contain recommendations to various states. So we would like to have confirmation on this point. And I would like to address you a last question on which is of interest to us, national parliaments. What is the role that we can play in controlling the rules relating to the rule of law? And do you think that COSAC could or should play a much more active role in that control and monitoring? I'll give you the floor immediately. Thank you very much, Madam Chairman and parliamentarians. I would like to thank you for your introduction. I would also like to thank the Working Party on the Place of Values at the heart of the sense of belonging and to the EU. And I would like to thank you, Mrs. Thiele, for having invited me to take part in these exchanges today, because this contributes to the promotion of a culture of the rule of law within the European Union. The rule of law, democracy, fundamental rights are the very basis of the European Union. The rule of law has a specific value in Article 2, the values of the Union in the treaty, because it guarantees the protection of all other fundamental values. The rule of law has an existential importance for the European Union. It guarantees the effective application of the law of the Union, and it plays a crucial role in the Union, and it guarantees mutual trust, because trust is at the very heart of the functioning of the European Union, and especially its internal market. It's not just a trust of the citizens vis-a-vis their institutions, but also the functioning of the internal market is linked to that. However, over the past few years, as you know, the rule of law has been questioned in various member states, and those are developments which are a serious concern for the European Commission. And that is why we have progressively developed several instruments, as you reminded.
The commitment to come with an annual rule of law report covering all the 27 member states on an equal footing. If we have mentioned such a new instrument in your introductory remarks. In July last year, the Commission adopted the second annual report. This new edition further deepens the Commission's assessment. In particular, it follows up on the challenges identified in the first report and those arising from the COVID-19 pandemic. We are currently preparing the third edition that we plan to adopt in July. Member states and stakeholders have had the opportunity to provide input, and we have just concluded the country visits, consisting of meetings with a variety of national authorities, judicial and other independent bodies, and many stakeholders, such as civil society organizations. The objective of the report remains to help and support member states in their effort to uphold the rule of law and to prevent problems from emerging or deepening. The report's findings are objective and can nourish political discussions between member states and at the national level. We can already see that our report is having an impact on the ground. We have seen positive justice reforms influenced by the findings of the report and the exchanges that followed with the Commission. From this year onwards, our report will also include recommendations to all the member states. This evolution will strengthen our assessment of member states' efforts to uphold the rule of law. And it is important to make the best use of this report as a basis for a political dialogue on the rule of law with a wide variety of actors, both at EU and national level, and there is a political determination to do so. At the EU level, I want to mention that in the Geneva Council, ministers discuss every 6 months the rule of law situation in 5 different member states. The latest discussion took place on the 12th of April this year and covered Luxembourg, Hungary, Malta, the Netherlands, and Austria. Once a year, the ministers also hold a discussion on the general rule of law situation in the EU after the publication of the report. And we will do that with the next presidency, the Czech presidency, because we'll publish, I said, the third edition in July. The debate with the European Parliament is also particularly important. I had the opportunity to present the 2021 rule of law report before the Libe committee, and the continuation and deepening of this dialogue with the European Parliament remains a priority for the Commission. And of course, we try to do that not only concerning some member states, but I insist, and I've said at different times to the Parliament, the European Parliament, why not to discuss about the 27 country chapters to have the opportunity to make the point on the entire European Union. I'm determined to continue to bring this debate also to national capitals and parliaments. And you ask what is possible to do for the national parliaments. Since October last year, I've discussed the second edition of the report in parliaments in Vienna, Rome, Luxembourg, Budapest, Warsaw, Paris, and Brussels, and virtually with the Dutch parliament. On Thursday, I will do the same in Bratislava. So that's very important because national parliament play an essential role in the promotion and protection of the rule of law. With the democratic debates, their competence in the legislative process, and under national systems of checks and balances. And of course, if we want to organize reforms to improve the rule of law in the member states, we need to be in contact with the government, but also with the parliament, because at the end, the decision for many reforms will be in the hands of the parliaments with new laws or sometimes with a constitutional revision. So it's very important to engage. And when we are going to the parliament, it's not only with the majority, of course, it's also with the opposition, with a real democratic debate. I said that the COSAC also and this working group on EU values are very good examples of this key role of the national parliament. I want to salute all the national parliamentary initiatives contributing to the rule of law culture, such as the report of the Committee on European Affairs of the French Senate on the rule of law in the EU, published last year.
Recording the resolution in progress.
Yeah. And I will mention also the resolution adopted by the German Bundestag in 2020 for the protection of the rule of law and democracy.
Recording stopped.
Just to give just two examples.
Recording in progress.
Such initiatives illustrate the constructive dialogue taking place at both EU and national levels and between those two levels. Of course, it's true that we are working also, just to give an example, at the EU level with the Justice Council. I tried to discuss about the independence of the justice systems with the Justice Minister on the table, independence of the prosecutor office, or appointment and disciplinary regime of the judges. And we try to discuss, of course, when I'm traveling to the member states or when we organize a country visit with the civil society, with many NGOs as stakeholders. So that's very important to mention. So the first element for the national parliament is that, of course, a dialogue on the rule of law report, but also a real decision to organize reforms to improve the situation. But nous sommes cependant conscients que le dialogue n'est pas toujours suffisant.
However, we are aware that dialogue is not always sufficient. That is why the Commission has considerably reinforced its ability to react in case of problems in various member states. I'm sorry, but there's could the person who is not taking the floor please cut off their microphone? Thank you. Anyway, as I was saying, the Commission considerably reinforced its ability to react in case of problems. In situations where the rule of law is effective, the Commission, as a guarantor of the treaties, can launch proceedings against a member state in front of the Court of Justice, as it has done several times, notably on the independence of judges in Poland. And recently, following the decision of the Constitutional Court in Poland, which declared unconstitutional some of the provisions of the Treaty of the European Union and contested the primacy of European Union law and the Court of Justice, the Commission decided to launch new infringement proceedings vis-a-vis Poland last December. And you know that there were already other infringement proceedings on the independence of judges and also provisional measures. And we asked for financial sanctions to be applied as long as those measures were not taken by Poland. So in a number of fields, we have obtained positive decisions, favorable decisions from the Court of Justice, and they are more and more aligned on the decisions taken by the European Court of Human Rights in Strasbourg. So we have European values, concrete elements of the rule of law, and notably the independence of justice. Another instrument to which you mentioned, Madam Chairman, is foreseen under Article 7 of the Treaty of the European Union, which foresees a procedure if there is a clear risk of serious violation of the values of the European Union or a serious and persistent violation. The deterioration of the rule of law in Poland gave rise to sanctions or measures being taken in 2017 by the Commission, and we decided to do the same for Hungary. And the two procedures are still ongoing in before Council, and the Commission is always ready to take part in those proceedings. We've done so recently, and we have to note that often the situation has worsened on a number of points. But you know the rules of procedure on Article 7, notably the majority, which is required 4/5 and even unanimity to impose sanctions. The work of the Commission on the rule of law is also reinforced by new instruments. As I said, since last year, we've had a regulation on budget cross-compliance. For the first time, the European Union will be able to protect its budget against violations of the rule of law. And the measures include suspension or even stopping some European financing. The Court of Justice recently confirmed the validity of the regulation after complaints by Hungary and Poland. And as Ursula von der Leyen said before Parliament this month, we're going to go to the next stage concerning Hungary. We're going to send a formal notification letter to the Hungarian authorities, which will launch the proceedings after sending the administrative letter last November. On the basis of the answers from Hungary, we decided to go one step further to launch the procedure officially. Now, I could dwell more on other instruments, such as national plans, where we ask for reforms to be implemented based on the specific recommendations made for each country's for each country within the European semester. Member states have launched reforms to abide by the recommendations, but the Commission has a number of instruments which enable it to act, and it doesn't hesitate to use them when it is necessary. The promotion and the respect for the rule of law is a common condition. All the institutions of the member states, the national parliaments, have a role to play in that context. And I was saying, to answer your question, that, of course, there is a role in the development of the culture of the rule of law, which I'm very happy to be able to discuss with parliamentarians from various countries. Debate goes on the whole year of report on each member state, and each national parliament can see the reforms which need to be implemented to improve the situation that is done in a number of member states. And to conclude, either we can go to court or before council. But when we go to council, including in the cross compliance, the new regulation, when the debate takes place in council, we have to have a majority. A qualified majority for the conditionality. So, of course, national parliaments do have a role to play because each government will take position within council. And it is normal for national parliaments to have their input in the position of their government in front of council, because sometimes, as I already said, in meetings where there were representatives from the European Parliament and national parliaments, sometimes we see some parliamentarians which are very progressive on the rule of law in the European Parliament, but we're looking for the same position in national parliaments. So thank you for your commitment to the rule of law, and I know that we can count on your support. But national parliaments can promote the culture of the rule of law, develop reforms on the basis of reports. As far as the rule of law, the recommendations will help you, but national parliaments can also have an impact on positions adopted by governments within council when the debate on Article 7 or the debate on conditionality will take place. Thank you for the opportunity to describe what we're doing.
Thank you very much, Mr. Commissioner, for answering so precisely to the questions. The last item you mentioned regarding national parliaments, regarding our capacity to control our governments, to check our governments take a position within the council, but it begs a question regarding the various prerogatives of the European Affairs Committees within member states. What I mean is that we don't all have the same power to control our governments. And I believe that it is about democracy if we see that in some member states, members of governments can be mandated on what they do at the council, whereas in other member states, it is not the case. So maybe there is something to think about there in order to promote the values of the rule of law. I am now going to give the floor to my colleagues. Who would like to take the floor? Mr. Van Goitzenhoven, colleague, you have the floor. Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Commissioner, thank you for taking the time to talk to us. The last report on the rule of law in the Union put this concept at the core of the identity. Well, Belgium considers that the respect of the rule of law and of fundamental rights is the foundation, the linchpin of our democracy. It is, therefore, essential that all member states are united around the same values and the same interpretation of those values in order to make sure that, from a practical standpoint, our union works well. We have a constructive dialogue based on facts, based on evidence, to build the European Union and strengthen it. The last 17th of February, judges of the Court of Justice of the European Union have validated the mechanism to withhold funds in case of an infringement of values mentioned Poland and Hungary. The European Commission can therefore now use this mechanism. So my question is the following. Have you already noticed some practical results? There are governments that are impacted by those measures. Could be even more wary when it comes to the European Union, and they could continue on with the same trend, which is not something that we welcome. So what is the observation we can make today, even though we're in the early stage of the implementation of this new mechanism? Thank you. Mr. Commissioner, would you like to answer right away, or should I take another question from Ms. Berlinghieri? As you wish. Well, this is a very precise question, so I can answer the first assessment that we can make. Is that, as you said, this, the Court of Justice said that it was legally binding. This document has been approved, and as I announced, the chairwoman of the committee said it. We are now going to use this mechanism. We are going to use it by sending a formal notice to Hungary. The procedure is going to run its course. And in the months to come, we will see if the Council seizes this issue, and we will see the direct impact of this approach. But at the same time, I've mentioned that we're also working on recovery plans. And in the recovery plans, we've asked member states to implement some reforms. It is very efficient. I could mention a slew of reforms in member states, but for example, last year there was a long debate in Italy on the judicial branch reform. Some laws were passed in order to meet some deal with some issues. This happened in other member states, but at the moment we can see that there is still a problem with Hungary and Poland and their plans. So we are discussing on how they can implement some reforms. It is too early at the moment to draw stronger lessons from the impact of conditionality, but having worked in a different area, also working with finance, I know that the budget argument weighs a lot, so we can hope that it has an impact on the member states' behaviors. But I can tell you that this regulation has been approved by the Court of Justice, and we have triggered this mechanism with Hungary. So in the months to come, we will see practically what impact it has. Thank you very much. Marina Berlinghieri, you now have the floor. Thank you very much. First of all, I would like to thank the commissioner. Thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us. I have two questions to ask. The first one has to do with a personal situation. I am at Strasbourg at the Parliamentary Assembly of the EU. This morning, the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe adopted an important resolution on the strengthening of the strategic partnership between the Council of Europe and the European Union. The resolution, well, I know that it was also the topic, it was already the topic of conversation between you and the reporter. This resolution is here to intensify the dialogue with the Council of Europe in the framework of the existing mechanism of the European Union to promote the rule of law. Since this is a very current issue, I would like to have your opinion on the initiatives that can be launched or that can be implemented regarding this topic. Second question, in your opinion, how could we strengthen the information and communication tools or technologies for our citizens regarding the European Union's activities which could enable us to raise awareness on what the EU is doing? This is something that we feel that we really need, and we felt it in the conference on the future of Europe. Thank you. Mr. Commissioner, you have the floor. Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Berlinghieri, practically speaking, regarding the relationship between the Council of Europe and the European Union, we fortunately already have a very strong relationship when it comes to the rule of law. Just to give you a few examples, in all the chapters of the report on the rule of law where we talk about the reform of the judicial system or of the constitution, every single time we ask member states to look at the Venice Convention in order to know how they can respect the European standards. It is an essential contact. I'm in touch with, I work with the Venice Convention. Just to show you that what's happening within the EU and within the Council of Europe can have a direct impact. They can impact each other. And when we talk about the anti-corruption chapter, the GRECO recommendations are taken into account, and we try to see how member states respond. As I said, there is also a convergence between the court's case law, in Luxembourg and in Strasbourg, so Court of Human Rights and the Court of Justice of the EU, but we've also developed contacts between the chair people of the various courts and the chair people of the courts in Strasbourg and in Luxembourg. And this is a way to show that we can share on the way we deal with the texts, be it at the Council of Europe or in the EU. Good. Besides, I can confirm that based on the Treaty of Lisbon, we've committed to commit the EU to abide to the Human Rights Convention. So we are working on this. There is strong cooperation. Now, regarding your question on communication to or outreach to citizens, well, I would like to talk about the report on the human rights. I've asked in Vienna to present a discussion program with civil society, with some stakeholders in each of the member states to see how we can give some life to the debate on the rule of law. I believe it's important for all national parliamentaries to play a role, but also legal experts, judges, lawyers, associations, etc., and all the civil society stakeholders, namely to show that the rule of law is not an abstract concept. It is also a package of practical components that has an impact on our everyday lives. For example, when we say that we need to guarantee access, it is part of the Fundamental Rights Charter, access to an impartial judge, it is, of course, in line with citizens' expectations. If you have a conflict with a public authority because you were denied an authorization or a permit or something, no matter the area, it's important for you to be able to challenge this decision before an impartial jurisdiction, or it would be useless if it was impartial, but if it was partial. But we need to communicate on the impact of the rule of law in people's daily lives. And I believe that it's important to intensify those practical debates in member states. It's important to talk about the reports on the rule of law, to show clearly how some flaws, loopholes, some issues detected in member states need to be challenged, need to be solved, because otherwise it leads to issues in citizens' daily lives. It can have an impact on their daily lives. I believe this is the best way to communicate on the rule of law, because we now have a publication cycle. This report is being published regularly, and we can see year after year what improvements has happened or not. Sometimes we take a step back. We see a step back in a few countries. Thank you very much. I believe that this is a very interesting question. It's a very important mission, Commissioner. It's important to say how we can develop this culture of the rule of law that you've mentioned, and how to draw a link with the local level, which is not always easy, because when you talk about the rule of law, it is a notion that seems to be very, very abstract, and it's not always easy, even for an MP, to clearly explain at the local level what it is. You know, in a small town, in a small village, it's hard to explain how, well, you know, citizens tend to say, well, I don't travel, so what is the impact on my life? I do not trade with another member state, so what's the matter, or how does it impact me? So it's not always easy, really, to promote this notion. And the word in French, état de droit, rule of law, does not really resonate with many people. Maybe we should think about the wording in French. And I'll now give the floor to our Portuguese colleague. You now have the floor.
Thank you, and greetings to all. And thank you, Commissioner, for this very interesting exchange of views and for your words. On a positive...
And your microphone is off. You have the floor. Unfortunately, I do not see your name, but Portugal have the floor.
Yes, I am Rui Lage, a member of the Portuguese Parliament. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Portugal, you have the floor. We cannot hear you.
You can hear me?
It doesn't seem to work. Your micro... Oh.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes, we can hear you.
Thank you. Greetings to all, and thank you, Commissioner, for this very interesting exchange of views and for your words and explanations. On a positive note, I would like to remind that the EU has, in fact, been an active agent in promoting democracy and human rights. Bear in mind that the Eastern candidates, roughly 15 years ago, had to underwent major judicial reforms regarding, for instance, minorities, the rights of minorities, and rule of law, of course. I would like to begin with a positive note. But of course, that this understanding that there is a threat to the rule of law in some EU countries is undermining, to some extent, the citizens' confidence in the EU to uphold its values, the values we all cherish. And this is an existential question for the EU. To be honest, over the past years, we have been facing successive existential threats to the EU, just now we hear that the citizens in the Visegrad countries, for instance, a majority of citizens believe that media press and media independence is under siege in their countries. So this is a very troublesome question, but of course that we welcome this information that there a formal infringement procedure will be launched towards Hungary. But my question is this: initiating the infringement procedure towards Hungary and launching also the infringement procedure towards Poland, don't we risk sending a wrong message that the EU has double standards towards the rule of law. Thank you.
Monsieur le Commissaire.
Mr. Commissioner, you have the floor.
It's true that after the different enlargement, we have seen a possibility to extend the rule of law and the democratic process in many new member states, and to consolidate the rule of law and the democratic process and the fundamental rights in many new member states. And it's not only to the south, it's also to the east. And it's very clear that if you are going just further than that, unfortunately, we are seeing a situation like the war in Ukraine, and we have seen before the war in the southern part of our neighborhood. And again, it's very important to have in our minds such a positive note, the evolution that we have had. But it's not a reason why we don't have to continue to work on the rule of law. And I want to insist on the fact that certainly with the aggression of Russia in Ukraine, we have a good reason, a fortiori, to do more about the rule of law. Because if we want to have an international rules-based order, we need to have a rules-based order in the EU. And certainly the attention that we are paying to the rule of law gave us a real credibility to ask a full respect for international rules outside the EU. But having said that, you mentioned two elements. First, the media. It's a real concern. In the Rule of Law Report 2021, we have seen an increasing of the concern about the media. And you know, with some murders of journalists in different member states, but also with many attacks in the social media, many attacks in different ways, also injustice. And I want to say that we try to react against that with very concrete measures to have a real organization of the media regulatory bodies to control the situation and to have a real open space for the media, with free media and with a real protection for the journalists. Now we are moving forward with the protection of the journalists against the multiple lawsuits. You know that there are sometimes multiple actions in justice, and we will come with different proposals to fight against that. And we have sent to the government recommendations about the protection of journalists, because it's an important element. When you spoke about infringement proceedings against Hungary and Poland, we introduced infringement on both situations, so against Hungary like Poland in different fields. But I'm sure that you make a reference to the conditionality. About the conditionality, we have a solid and robust dossier concerning Hungary. It's in relation with the remarks coming from Olaf regarding...
Monsieur, c'est la magie.
Regarding the corruption cases. And on this, of course, we continue the process. We have sent also an administrative letter to Poland in November last year. And so we continue to analyze the situation in Poland to see if there are some possible links with the protection of the union budget. So we try to do that on an equal footing. Be sure that there is not with a double standard, because you have seen that we have two Article 7 procedure in the on the table of the Council. We have many infringement proceedings before the court, but we try to have a real robust dossier to go to the Council with the conditionality mechanism. And for the moment, we have all the elements. We are thinking that about Hungary, and we have started, but we'll continue to analyze the situation in all the member states if it's needed to move on this. So the main issue is to have an equal approach. And it's the reason why, again, and I conclude with that, I'm asking to the Council, and it's the case, but also to the Parliament, the European Parliament, to discuss the 27 country chapters and not to focus only on some, because it's very important to show that we are coming with remarks and with observations in all the member states. But it's true that we have remarks in all, that we have seen positive reactions to improve the situation in many member states, but we have, in fact, two more systemic situations. And it's not a coincidence that we have the two Article 7 procedures, and that we have also maybe Hungary and Poland staying out of the European Public Prosecutor Office, and for very, very concrete reasons, I've asked to those countries to take part in the European Public Prosecutor Office and sought to take part in the protection of the EU budget. But be sure that we'll continue to work on an equal footing with all the member states.
Merci, Monsieur le Commissaire. Vous avez ou aussi le.
Thank you very much. You mentioned the media, and so did the colleague from Portugal. Those are discussions we already had amongst us, because freedom of the media is not really part of the definition of the rule of law within the European Union. If I've understood well, we don't really have our own definitions. We base ourselves on the definitions given by the Venice Commission of the Council of Europe, and it doesn't officially include the media. Maybe we should change the notion of the rule of law, have it evolve, include free access to information, because that is also part, or should also be part, of the elements which are part of the rule of law. I don't know what your opinion is. Well, I would come back to the example I gave to the question from the Portuguese question. There are four chapters in the report on the rule of law, and the third concerns the media, freedom of the press, plurality of the media, and we have noted a deterioration of the situation, not only with murders, as we saw of a journalist Galicia in Malta, organized murders in the Netherlands, for example. So we have taken a number of initiatives on the basis of the report on the rule of law, and I wish us to discuss it in all member states, how we can implement mechanisms which guarantee the proper functioning of the plurality of the media, for example, through financing of the media. When there is public financing, it must be fair. You mustn't subsidize some media rather than the other. We'll also want to fight the proceedings which give proceedings in front of the court on gagging orders for journalists. So we can monitor the way in which the regulation authorities are set up, are financed, are equipped, have sufficient means to guarantee press plurality. We are going to continue working on that, and I hope that the debate on the basis of the report will also take place in front of the national parliaments with the media and journalists in each member state. Thank you. I don't see any other requests for the floor from my colleagues. No? Well, I would like to ask a last question, if you don't mind, because I would say that the adherence of the European Union to the Human Rights Convention is something which we've been discussing for ages and ages, but there's been some reluctance on that issue, because there's a question of the primacy of European Union law. So what is your opinion on that issue? Well, over the past few years, we've worked hard to try to answer the comments which were made by the Court of Justice on that issue. And between the two courts, the situation has changed, because case law in different fields has evolved along the same lines, including on the independence of justice, for example. And we have regular exchanges with the chairs, with the presidents of both courts of justice, and we don't have the same issues we had a few years ago. However, we do have to solve some legal issues. There's also a political issue, because we have to convince people it's part of our obligations. That's part of the Lisbon Treaty. But we also have to convince all stakeholders in the Council of Europe. You know that the situation is troubled within the Council of Europe, of course, the consequences of the Russian aggression in Ukraine. But we are continuing to work along those lines, because the joining of the European Union, joining the European Convention, seems logical, because all member states are part of the Council of Europe. So it is not easy. Within the Commission, there is work which is ongoing in partnership with the Council Council of Europe, but we're going to continue working on that. But it doesn't stop us, of course, to have our own instruments. We also have the Charter of Fundamental Rights, which was not binding 20 years ago, but became binding 10 years ago, and which is now part of EU law, and it enables the Court of Justice to appeal to that law when it gives its judgments. And there is an evolution of both laws along the same lines. But we aren't there yet. There were quite a few meetings over the past few months. We hope that we'll be able to succeed in a context which is unfortunately a situation of war and conflict, which is particularly horrendous, in which doesn't make discussions any easier in the country of the Council of Europe. Dear Commissioner, thank you very much. If there are no other questions from my colleagues, oh yes, I have another question if you have a few minutes left, because we are reaching the end of the discussions on the Conference on the Future of Europe, and conclusions are due to be presented on the 9th of May. Now, do you think that we should reopen debates on the treaty, notably Article 7, to render it more effective? I feel personally it is worrisome in Article 7 that there is no time which is given to Council to have an opinion, which means that you can have a very long drawn out procedure quite independently from the question of unanimity or a qualified majority. Well, the first thought I have about the conference is that the aim is to have proposals mostly or mainly from European citizens. So I think we have to let the European citizens make those proposals, because if we already set limits or framework, then the debate will not be free and open. That was the first comment. The second comment is that on the basis of the need to make progress, changing the treaty is not going to give rise to the same constraints or the same time scale. Of course, changing treaties will take more time than changing other laws within the European Union. However, I think there are prospects in the medium or long term which will be based on debates on the European treaties. Now, I think we have a number of mechanisms which are very satisfactory. We're talking about Article 7, conditionality. There is a major step forward with the conditionality mechanism. So let's try to get those tools to work, first of all. But then if there are proposals which are designed to improve the toolbox, as we call it, which is at the disposal of the Commission on the rule of law, we would be delighted. But until now, we've been to the Court of Justice quite often. We've had a positive reaction from the court. What is more complex, of course, and it's quite normal, is to go to the member states, which we have to do with the Council. Article 7 has its constraints, conditionality also. It's important for citizens and national parliaments to realize that they have in their hands part of the instrument. Now, if you manage to convince your government to have weight on the debate in Council when we come to Council with Article 7 proceedings or conditionality, then we can get things to change. But very often there are a number of states which take a position, but not all in the same, along the same lines. So the work on the culture of the rule of law, it goes hand in hand with the consequences we can draw from that when we have a specific discussion, for example, within Article 7 or conditionality. So I don't exclude it. There could be debates on changes or modifications, but we should, first of all, try to make best use of the tools that we already have at our disposal. Right, I reached the end of my questions. So I would like to thank you, Commissioner, for having answered all our questions. And thank you also for the work you do, because I think we're making progress. That question is at the very heart of our discussions. I think it's really important to develop the culture, and the annual report will help us also as national parliamentarians. So thank you very much. Thank you to our colleagues, and see you soon. Thank you very much.
A bientôt.